everyone. This is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rock podcast. I am back with my friend Brooke Wayne, and we're talking about parenting this week. I love talking about parenting. You know, if you homeschool, it's because you are a parent or a grandparent. Maybe I know we've got grandparents who listen as well. And, or maybe you're just someone who is helping someone to homeschool. Maybe you have a neighbor or a good friend or a sister or someone, and you're just in the world of homeschooling. But whatever world you're in, you likely have kids in your home. And if you have kids in your home, that means you have sinful little ones. And that means that you're sinful. And we're all trying to do this life together as sinful people who need Jesus. And so we're here to try to help you with that. And you know, you guys know this. I mean, the reason that I do this podcast is to encourage and bless and equip you, our listeners, but also for myself. And I don't mean that in a selfish way. It's just that I'm still, as we talked about in Monday's episode with Brooke, like I'm still trying to figure out this parenting thing. Sometimes I feel like by the time we get to the very end of my girls' time in our home, I'll feel like, yeah, okay, I've learned a thing or two. I wish I had learned those things way early on in my parenting. But you know, some things you can't learn until you actually do them. And so parenting is one of those things, and I'm grateful for people like Brooke who have gone ahead of me. You know, she's a few years ahead of me in her parenting journey, and I can learn from the things that the Lord has taught her. And so I pray that this is a great encouragement to you. But before we get back into our conversation, I do want to say thank you to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. They have amazing courses that teach biblical worldview foundations. They teach critical thinking. They are just amazing. We love BJU Press Homeschool. So if you're looking for any subject, any grade, try them out. BJUPressHomeschool.com. They have K-3 through 12 core curriculum to fit all of your needs. You will not be disappointed. And they've got consultants who will help walk you through whatever it is that you're needing for your homeschool. So check them out, BJUPressHomeschool.com. Also, we want to say thank you to those of you who have left ratings or reviews for this podcast. That really means a lot to us, and it really does help other people to know why they should listen to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. So if you would just take a minute, maybe pause for just a second, and whatever platform you're listening to this on, if you would leave a review, that would be amazing. Or if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button and share this with your friends. We would be so grateful for that. Also, if you've not subscribed to our newsletter, you can do that through our website, schoolhouserocked.com. We would love for you to keep up with what we've got going on here at the Schoolhouse Rocked Ministry. So anyway, Brooke Wayne, thank you for being back with me. I feel like those introductions are so long. There's so much to say. I am grateful to have you back. On Monday, we were talking about, as parents, just dealing with anger and frustration with our kids, because it's something that we all deal with. Our kids misbehave. They, you know, sometimes they can be disrespectful. Sometimes we're the ones who are misbehaving. We're the ones who are just having a bad day and we have a bad attitude. Maybe we didn't sleep well. Maybe we've got a new baby and we are just sleep deprived, or maybe there's just something else going on in our lives. And so as parents, we can easily kind of get ourselves out of control, right? And it's hard to sometimes rein it back in. And man, I can't tell you the number of times I have had to apologize to my girls and just say, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have had that reaction. I shouldn't have said that attitude. And so as we're talking about how to deal with our own sinful reactions and our own anger, what are some ways that you have learned? Just some, I want some really practical ways. And we talked about the Holy Spirit working in us and through us, but can you give us maybe some practical things that you have learned as a way of being able to really control your anger with your kids?
Yes. I'm so glad to be back on with you, Yvette. So thanks so much.
Sure.
So yeah, we were talking a little bit on Monday about how it's not necessarily our nature to respond in patience. That is really something that the Holy Spirit needs to do through us. But I find sometimes as parents, we will be like, okay, now I know I'm not supposed to be angry with my children, so I will stop that. We all recognize, okay, that's not good. That's not cool. So we put on these things on ourselves. Okay, I'm going to stop doing this. But we don't then go, what do I fill it with? What am I planning to do? And I think that's really powerful for us to say, what is my plan? And maybe that looks a little different for everybody. So I want to throw out a couple ideas. But you know, having that plan, being intentional, next time I am upset, I am stressed, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, you know, whatever your word you're going to use, or irritated. There's just this whole huge complex thing from that mild irritation and frustration or stressed out to full-blown out anger. And we want to just figure out, when I start feeling that, what am I going to do? So usually it comes right in the confrontation area with our children. We have seen them doing something wrong. And, you know, for me, that seeing a child do something wrong, especially if another child gets hurt, that's just as a big anger issue for me of going, oh, that's so wrong. I want to protect that other, you know, usually little child and be going, this is not right. So it's like, we can't just avoid talking about these issues. We need to address them. So one area I have specifically chosen to tell myself I will not do is speak across the room to my child. Now I know, like, does that cure anger? Do I get close to your child? No, not really. But it helps me tremendously, because if my child, where I have noticed them doing this wrong thing, is 20 feet away, my tendency is to raise my voice and maybe put my hand on my hip and maybe wave my finger over at that child, because I want them to understand what you did is not right. And so I'm making all of the big noises and big volume to try to get their attention. And you know how it is. Sometimes they have those children that don't readily give their attention, which is probably another topic, right? But then we realize, okay, I need to talk all the louder to make sure that they're hearing. But what it does is that irritation me starts getting fed by my volume. And pretty soon I'm all right yelling at that child. And what it does is it takes off a little pressure inside of me from the yelling. And I feel a little bit like, whew, got that off of my chest. Yeah. And I'm feeling actually a little bit better about the situation. Now, has that situation improved? No. But I'm personally maybe feeling better. And it's like I've taken my weight and my feelings on this, and I've dumped them on my child, who is not really equipped to handle all of those big emotions. So simply by saying, and I, you know, so many pregnancies for me, it's often like, let's go sit down so I'm not stressed standing here. Let's go sit down together, or go draw them closer, go closer to them. And when I'm closer, I'm 2 feet away, I'm much less likely to yell. It's just how it goes. You know, it's just a practical thing. Does it cure anger? No. But I think it helps me so much. So that's something for me. I want all of you listeners, please look at what it is for you that's going to, you know, consider what is going to help you. Maybe that same thing will be helpful for you. Maybe it looks a little more like stepping away from the situation as possible, right? And taking a few minutes to think about it and to breathe a little bit. But then also, when I put my arm around that child, it's just a reminder for me, I am for this child. I'm not against them. And this is where I just think it reflects God's heart towards us. In that time, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, it wasn't even like we were doing pretty good, or like I mentioned the other day, that ladder of trying to like earn something and to do well. No, it's like while we were in the pits, God loved us. And that's our heart for our children. When we find them doing wrong, we need to have a heart for love. So much love that we don't leave them there, but that we actually go through that process of talking with them. So I put my arm around my child. Not every child will accept that. Not every mom's going to be wired that way. But that's one little thing that I do. So practical, just a little thing. And I tell myself every time, I'm for this child winning over their sin. And there's just other things that can be done, just being more intentional about our time with our children. I find that I can get too wordy when I'm on a roll and I'm angry. And so an hour can go by and I'm lecturing those children as if those leaving those dirty socks on the floor is the eternal the eternal need of the universe. And I sometimes go, you know what? I need to speak in shorter words, especially those younger ones. They don't need a long sermon. They need, here's what's right, here's what's wrong, get with the program. Yeah. So sometimes like just lessening our words is actually helpful, and it makes us more poignant to go, what am I actually trying to say?
Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com. We are back with Brooke. Brooke, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate before the break, you were talking about how we are for our children. And I think that is such an amazing and right perspective to have. And we forget that. I forget that. I shouldn't say we. I don't know. Maybe other people remember that. But I know that I forget that oftentimes in the midst of correcting my girls, is that I'm for them. One of Ginger Hubbard, you know, she's a really good friend of mine. And one of the things that I learned from her early on in my parenting was that we train our kids and we discipline them and we correct them because we love them too much to allow them to disobey. And that's really that same idea, is that we're for you. We're not disciplining you. I mean, sometimes it's because they're just straight up embarrassing us, right? And we've had those situations before where with family members or out in this grocery store or something, and our kid does something that seems unbelievable. And you're like, really? Really? Why would you do such a thing? Or why would you say such a thing? And it really is embarrassing to us. But really, ultimately, it's embarrassing to the name of Jesus when they disobey. And when they disobey us, they're disobeying the Lord. And ultimately, what we want is for them to be in obedience to the Lord. Because as we've said, and I've said this on the podcast a million times, and I've said it to my kids a million times, is that obedience brings blessings, but sin causes pain. And we don't want our kids to have a life of pain. We want our kids to have a life of blessings, and we want to have a life of blessings ourselves. And so we need to be in obedience to the Lord as we're parenting our children. And that is such a hard concept to get through to them sometimes, you know, from the time they're itty bitty until they're, you know, grown adults like I have now, is just helping them to understand, like, I am for you. I want the best for you. It's why I discipline you. And so that is an amazing thing to think about and to remember as we're trying to control our own anger. I'm also thinking about Ginger. I'm thinking about her Wise Words for Moms. Have you ever used that? Have you seen that product before?
I have, yes. In fact, I saw it the other day on my desk and I was like, I need to pull this out and use it again.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'll put a link in it too, in the show notes for our listeners. If you've not seen this, I wish I had it in front of me. I have it. I just don't have it in front of me right now. But it almost looks like a calendar kind of, but it's just this really simple, you look at whatever the behavior is that, you know, whether it's lying or, you know, stealing or disrespect or whatever, and you look at the behavior, and then she gives you very simple steps that you can take to help walk your child through correcting that behavior, including scripture. But she kind of scripts it for you, like, okay, here's what you say in this moment, so that you don't, as a mom who's riled up, you don't have to always think about, oh, what am I supposed to say right now? You can take a moment and say, you know what? I need you to go sit on your bed for just a minute. I'll be right back. And then you can go sneak over to wherever you have your Wise Words for Moms pamphlet, look up what to say and how to react to it. But it's been so helpful for me and my parent. It was in the early years, very, very helpful in my parenting. So let's talk really quickly about triggers, because I know in your book, you've got this book, Pitching a Fit. And this book's been out for a while. I don't even know what year.
Years. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been out for a little while, but it is such a great book. It's Overcoming Angry and Stressed Out Parenting. And in the book, you talk about recognizing different anger triggers. Talk about that for a few minutes.
Yeah. So I started realizing, as I was going through those several years process of realizing I have anger issues in my heart that I need to deal with, there were certain things that kind of fed into my feeling of irritation / anger. And one of them was coffee. So I did not drink coffee until our seventh child was born. And it kind of came about, I was so tired from, you know, she's like a month old or something. I was so tired. My dad gave me a cup of coffee and I was like, I feel alive again. So of course, as a new coffee drinker, I thought, well, one cup of coffee is great. Maybe two would be better. And maybe three or five is better. Yeah. And so I noticed that I had that caffeine buzz and, you know, not that I'd recommend that, but it was like, okay, I am on edge because I'm trying to stay awake with this coffee and this is not helping me. I need to cut back, you know, maybe a cup or two, but not five cups. And so I realized, okay, what other things do I have going on that could be an irritation? And, you know, clutter is a big one for me. A messy house is just, it just raises my blood pressure. And so I started going, okay, what do I need to get rid of? What do I need to do? What new systems do I need? You know, it's really odd, but we have found we need less and less toys as time goes on.
Sure.
Children just do more things. They create more things. And so we're down to, even with a 2 and 4 year old that play with toys every single day, we just don't have as much of a need. So there's things like that. I started realizing I was trying to create a blessing in my life by having toys everywhere. It didn't help. I will say chaos still sometimes reigns in our house and is just part of normal living. I think that needs to be understood sometimes. If you're going to live in your house, school in your house, educate in your house, all these things we're doing, it's going to bring some mess. But there are ways that we can help that come down a bit, especially as the children get a little older and can help. But anyhow, there's triggers I'm sure that you have that are very different than mine. And I just always encourage parents, write out those, because when you have given a little thought and a knowledge, that can help you realize I'm going into making dinner, and making dinner makes me feel on edge because everybody else is hungry and everything's a bit of a mess and I'm trying to wrap up the day. Maybe that's the trigger. And when you know that and you go into that hour, realizing it can help put a little check on your spirit to realize this is part of the game. This is a difficult moment for me. I need to be more on guard against anger than maybe some of the easier moments in my day. And then again, like, sometimes there's things that we can do to lessen the stress of that hour. Sometimes there's nothing to do. And so just recognizing, I think, goes a long way. But for me, I've recognized this. I've talked with many families about this issue, that unhappiness is a huge trigger for anger. And this is something that's very complicated and can be very many layers deep. But I came across, just in realizing, talking with so many moms, in our culture really looks down on the homeschool mom who is in her home, sweeping up the crumbs, telling children the ABCs over and over again. She's wiping up the table. She's doing all these things. And the world looks at that and says, anybody else could do that. You should use your gifts, your education to further the world, to serve in your community, to make a difference. And this is a lie. It's just an outright lie. Our culture is saying that the people, the eternal souls that God's gifted us to care for, are not important. And I really find those sweet, tiny little moments when they're itty bitty, you know, the potty training moments, the wiping the noses, the going through the alphabet, those build such tight bonding relationships. But later, when they're teenagers, you have an element of influence to speak into their hearts about the truth, about the gospel. And I think this is a mission field. So I really want to tell moms, do not look down on those moments. So as I'm looking at all of that, I see this guy in the Bible, and it's in Acts 6. I tend to get this mixed up. I think it's Acts 6. I'm talking about Stephen. So Stephen had these things spoken about him. He was full of the Spirit. He was full of grace, full of power, full of faith. And so if we hear that, we go, wow, this guy from in the early church, he should have been put on a pedestal. He should have been out doing like the most visible work in the church at that time. And this is what the church at that time, they looked at it. The apostles looked at him and said, the best place he could serve was waiting on tables. They said they needed somebody to serve the widows and said, he's the guy. And I was like, wow, I'm not sure if I was in that position that I would think Stephen should go into that. You know, I mean, I don't know if your children are as messy as ours.
Yeah.
We have crumbs on the floor every day. And now, you know, now I have older ones and middle-aged ones that can sweep it up and all that. But I remember just being on the floor multiple times a day thinking, am I wasting my life? Mm-hmm. Is this what motherhood is about? Is this what discipleship is about?
Yeah.
And yet this is what Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, full of grace, full of wisdom, full of faith. He was assigned to that, and that's where he served. And it was a powerful way that God used him. And you all know his story of later on, martyrdom and so forth. But his message was so deep, and that's how he served. And it really speaks to me that this work we're doing with our families, it's not wasted. It's building something.
Yeah, that's so good. I think it is easy sometimes for moms to become resentful. Mm-hmm. About their role, because it's just so mundane sometimes, you know, like we do the same thing over and over and over again, you know, wash, rinse, repeat. Like it is what we do as moms. But when we're intentional in our parenting, we're raising up this next generation of Jesus followers. You know, we don't know what they're going to go on to do. And this is the most important job on the planet. You know, I worked, I mean, most of our listeners know, we were married for almost 11 years before our oldest daughter was born. And we dealt with infertility for many, many years. And, so during that time, I always worked, and I worked in the corporate world, and I had really good jobs. I had really good paying jobs. I loved the work that I did. And I remember as I would get up and go to work every day and sit in an office, and it was fun. I did some fun things, but I remember just longing for the days when I would just get to rock my baby and change diapers and sing to my baby and teach my babies how to tie their shoes and, you know, teach them how to hold a fork and a spoon. We went to a restaurant the other day. This is kind of random as I'm thinking about this. And there was a couple sitting next to us, and they had a little girl, and she was maybe, I don't know, two years old, somewhere around there. And the dad was so patient with her, and he was helping her learn how to use her fork. And it was just so cute. Like, she was so little, and she was trying so hard to like get the food on the fork and get it to her mouth without spilling it all over. And I just thought, man, I miss those days with my girls. And I longed for that so much when I was working, because my heart desperately wanted to be at home and be a mom. And so I see it from a different perspective. Whereas I think oftentimes women who jump into motherhood quickly, they feel like they're missing out on something else. Well, what else are you missing out on? Working for someone else? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's like work for the Lord, work for his kingdom, and raise up warriors. You know, Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God and raise up the next generation of Christ followers and warriors. It is the greatest job, and it is such a privilege. And so it is definitely something not to resent, but I can definitely see where moms might resent our role in what we're doing, especially when we're getting pushback from our kids, and feel like that would be an easy trigger. It would be easy to become resentful and become angry about those things that we're doing on a day-to-day basis. So anyway, so much more good stuff to talk about, but we are out of time. I want to talk about sibling relationships. So let's come back tomorrow, because that's another thing that, wow, I know for myself that can just push me over the edge when my girls are fighting with one another and trying to deal with my own anger and frustration with that, but helping them to deal as well with their own anger and frustration. So tell us again, one more time, Breck, where people can find out more about you and your ministry.
Yes, I'd love to. So you can go to familyrenewal.org, familyrenewal.org. And that's our website. And there's a bookstore on there where we do sell our book, Pitching a Fit, Overcoming Angry and Stressed Out Parenting, which Israel and I put together. It comes from two very different perspectives, but it just shares our heart on this topic. And you'll find other books too. Israel's got some new books even come out this week. So we'd love to have you visit there, or you can also look up our speaking site, which is israelwayne.com.
And yes, if you have not heard Israel speak, Brooke, I've not had the privilege of hearing you speak, but I have heard Israel speak. And I know you guys are a powerhouse, and Israel has so much good stuff. He's in the movie. He's got several parts in the movie. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution, by golly, what are you waiting for? It's free. Just watch it. You can stream it for free. It doesn't cost you anything. You can stream it at schoolhouserockedmovie.com, and you can see Israel in that movie. And he's got a lot of wisdom to share in there. We're so grateful for that. But definitely, and I'm just going to give a little plug. If you are interested in purchasing this book, Pitching a Fit, or any of the other books written by the Waynes, purchase it from their website. And we really encourage that, because if you purchase it from Amazon, I don't know, you know, Amazon's going to get most of the money. They're going to get very little. And then their kids are going to have to eat the crumbs off of the floor, because Amazon will be eating steaks for dinner. And, you know, the Waynes will. I'm just kidding. I know the Lord provides well for your family. But yes, we do encourage people to purchase directly through the author as often as possible. So we will put the link directly to your website so that people can purchase the book. It's the same price, I think, on your website as it is on Amazon. Yeah. You just might not get it quite as fast, but you can wait a couple more days. So anyway, stay tuned to the very end to hear what's coming up next on the podcast. And again, you can find everything at our website, schoolhouserocked.com. We love you guys, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye. As parents, our greatest hope is that our kids will grow up to be followers of Jesus Christ and live out God's call on their lives. But you also know the world makes it challenging to follow Christ faithfully. That's why I'm so excited about Summit Ministries. Their student conferences give teens and young adults reasons to trust the biblical foundation you've laid for them. Our oldest daughter, Brooklyn, is super excited to go this summer. And if you have a child ages 16 to 22, they can attend a Summit Ministries student conference this summer as well. Get a $200 discount on their in-person conference by using code SCHOOLHOUSE24 at checkout. And receive an additional $200 off with their early bird discount when you register by March 31st. Visit summit.org/schoolhouse to learn more. That's summit.org/schoolhouse.
When I am considering how important it is for these children to learn conflict resolution, how much that's going to do for them in their future marriages, as future parents to our precious grandchildren unborn, to their ability to hold a job and to work well with others, to employ others if that's their situation, to being the future church. And I look at all of those relationships that need conflict resolution. I go, this is important. This feels so draining. It feels so every day. It feels so inconvenient to us as parents. And yet we need to really kind of take our minds off and go, you know what, this is important. And I know this is going to be really hard to swallow, and I find it hard to swallow. Sometimes I'll say to myself, I need to be thankful for this conflict happening in my home.